Father, I pray that you will speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind. And none of me and all of you, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Well, just give God some thanksgiving for you being alive and well today. Amen. And go and greet two or three of your neighbors, welcome them here tonight, and let's get in the Word. Let's get in the Word. Now, you know, whatever you are highly developed in, because you're highly developed in a thing, it will bring forth manifestations quickly. You understand what I'm saying? When you're highly developed in something. Well, I want to talk to you about tonight, and spend a few weeks dealing with this. I want to talk about highly developed faith for quick manifestations. Highly developed faith for quick manifestations. I am now going to take some time to tie in the word of faith with grace as a result of what we learned this past Sunday, being two works, two types of works, just like you have two types of righteousness. You have righteousness which is by works, and then you have righteousness which is by faith. And then you have two types of works. You have works of the law, and you have works by faith. And y'all can turn that blower off. It ain't hot outside, please. I'm back of my head getting cold. I can't hardly flow with the Holy Ghost with my head. That stuff blowing on my head. Turn that thing off in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I appreciate it working, but turn it off. I'd rather fan tonight. Give me one of them funeral fans. So when people begin to look at, you know, being free from the works of the law, that doesn't mean being free from the works of faith. And so get a hold of this past Sunday's, because we make the distinction between the works of faith and the works of the law. Now, what I want to do is, in light of what we know about grace, grace has made everything available that we'll need. I want to go through the scriptures. I want to show you this line by line, and I want to show you how important it is to develop your faith. I've heard all kinds of things over the last couple of years. I've heard people say, well, you know, Brother Dollar, now that we're under grace, we don't have to get in the Word. That's dumb. Well, Brother Dollar, now that we're under grace, we don't have to spend time making confessions of the Word. That's dumb. Well, Brother Dollar, now that we're under grace, we don't have to do anything. We don't even need a Bible. It's just getting too far. So I'm needing to teach with precision to make sure that we cover these things. So tonight, let's start in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. You're very familiar with this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And let's set this up so you can see what I'm saying. You know, I said to you at New Year's Eve that everything we do is going to head towards your manifestation. And you're talking about a time not to miss church is now, because you grab all of this stuff and you begin to walk in the manifestations of the finished works of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's read verse 8 out loud together. Ready? Read. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, notice, we were saved by grace. By grace are you saved. Go to the Amplified of Ephesians 2 and 8 as well. By grace are you saved. That word saved is not just limited to born again. It is by grace you have been delivered. The Amplified says, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, or you're delivered from judgment, and you're made partakers of Christ's salvation. How? Through your faith. You're made partakers of salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It is not of your own doing, like the works of the law, but it came not through your own striving, but it's the gift of God. Now, you can clearly see that your salvation, which includes your deliverance, your prosperity, your healing, your soundness, and your born again, it came through faith. All right, so now if you subtract faith out of this scripture, grace has made everything available, but there's no way for it to reach you. Amen. There's no way for it to be manifested in your life. And that's the thing I want to get a hold of, the fact that what Jesus has finished and what Jesus has made available, He intends for it to be manifested in your life. Now, you got to realize a couple of things. First thing you got to realize is that God is a spirit. He operates in the spiritual realm, and He communicates to us through the Word of God, which He says is spiritual. But, you know, there are limitations of what can be done in the physical world. Although physical things were born out of spiritual things, there are laws that govern the spirit, and then there are laws that govern this physical, natural world. Well, God intends for everything that Jesus has made available through His blood, your healing, your deliverance, your prosperity, your soundness, your wholeness, He wants that to be manifested in your life. That's not supposed to be stuck in the spirit realm. What Jesus accomplished for us is not supposed to just stay in the spirit realm. It was intended to be manifested in your physical, natural lives. But there's going to be, of necessity, a bridge that will take it from the realm of the spirit over into the realm of this natural. And that bridge is called faith. How do you take possession in the natural of something that's still in the spirit? The answer to that is faith. How do I take possession and get a hold of something that's in the spiritual, unseen world and get it to be manifested and seen in this physical world? The answer is faith. All of these things that have been manifested in the spirit world were given to us by God's grace, God's love, God's unmerited favor. We're already healed. We're already delivered. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and Christ in you is the hope of glory, but the intent is to manifest it in your life. So Ephesians 2 says, we were saved by grace, but we get it how? Through faith. Now, all of a sudden, faith becomes a pretty hot commodity in order to see manifestations of the grace of God in our lives. It's a balance of faith and grace. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. And notice what it says here. And we'll come back here and read the entirety of this one because this is pretty important. Verse 16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. And so he says, whatever you got by grace, he says, it's not going to happen unless it be by faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. So whatever might be by grace, it has to come through faith. Again, faith is a very important thing. See, I don't want this church to walk around thinking, well, you know, I have the knowledge of God's grace, and then that's just it. I want you to understand what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying it is through faith that these things are going to show up. In fact, look at the recommendation for how we should live. We who are under the grace of God, look at how He tells us to live. And the reason why He tells us to live this way is because He wants us to get a hold of what grace has made available. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 17, and then Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, and Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Now, what's the recommendation for us in physical bodies? How should we live in order to lay hold of what grace has made available to you? Well, verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So now he tells us who are the just, those of us who've been declared righteous because of what Jesus has done. I've been made righteous by what Jesus has done. He says, but it'll be revealed to me from faith to faith. Everything that Jesus has done, he made me righteous. That righteousness is going to be revealed in my natural, physical, natural life from faith to faith. And he recommends that those who've been declared righteous, that they live a life by faith. The just shall live how? By faith. Okay, our understanding of grace doesn't bury that. Our understanding of grace doesn't erase the truth that the just shall live by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. In verse 38, he says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. Why would the recommendation be for us who are alive in physical bodies to live by faith? Because that's the only way you're going to access what grace has made available. Faith is such an interesting thing because faith operates within the boundaries of what grace has made available. Grace has made your healing available. Therefore, faith can take possession of it. Grace has made your deliverance available. Therefore, grace can take possession of it. Grace has made your prosperity available. Therefore, faith can take possession of it. So whatever grace has made available, whatever Jesus, because grace is not a curriculum, grace is a person, Jesus, whatever Jesus has made available for you, then faith will take possession of it and cause it to be manifested and seen in your physical life. If you understand that, say amen. So faith is, based on what I've just said, faith is a positive response to what God has already done. So I'm asking you tonight, when circumstances and situations arise in your life, how do you respond? How do you respond? When baby need a pair of shoes, what's your response? Your response is going to be two ways. It's going to be by faith, according to the word, or it's going to be by fear, according to the circumstance. That's the only two ways you're going to respond. You're going to respond by the word of God, or you're going to respond by the words of the devil or the words of the world. How are you responding? Now, a couple of things. However you respond, that's who you give authority to. If you respond then according to God's word, then he has authority and a permit to begin to move in your life. If you respond according to the words of the devil in fear, then you've empowered the enemy to operate in your life. I mean, this thing is really getting down to the nitty-gritty of us understanding the fact that, you know, faith is a positive response to what grace has already made available. That means the doctors say you're sick, but grace has already made healing available. Your response to sickness is positive. Your response is, praise God, by his blood, I've already been healed. All right, that's a faith response. I can't tell you how powerful a faith response is in the life of a believer. You know, you have lack show up in your life and threats coming along with the lack, and you know Jesus, by his precious blood, has made available for you all of the prosperity and everything that you need, then your response is positive. Your response is negative. Your response is not out of fear. You're responding based on what grace has already done. That's what faith is. It's a positive response to what grace has already done. Faith takes possession of what grace has provided. Faith takes possession of what grace has provided. So what has grace provided? Everything that pertains to life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 and 3. 2, everything that grace has made available, faith says, I'll take possession of it. I'll take hold of everything that has already been done. Faith takes possession of what grace has provided. Say that. Faith takes possession of what grace has provided. Say it again. Faith takes possession. Has your healing already been provided? Has your deliverance already been provided? Has your prosperity already been provided? How do you take possession of it so it shows up in this physical world? Huh? Huh? By faith. So what if there's a problem with your faith? So it's going to be a problem with your manifestation. I don't have this written down, but go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 12. If you have a problem with your faith, there will then be a problem with your manifestations. If you have a problem with your faith, there will then be a problem with your manifestations. Now, I'm saying this because I don't want believers to think, you know, I want you start intellectualizing. Well, praise the Lord, we were saved by grace, but praise God, we get it through faith. Hallelujah. But something wrong with your faith. Your faith is weak. The Bible talks about weak faith. Another translation of weak faith is a short burst of faith. In other words, it doesn't last long. It's like you feel like you got faith while you're in church, but as soon as church is over with, it dwindles away. Look what he says in 1 Timothy 6 and 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. All right, first of all, if there is going to be a fight of faith, there's going to be opposition to faith. Okay, so you have the enemy that is going to try to oppose your faith. So when you know grace has already made healing available, and then you begin to have a positive response towards that sickness and disease, how many of you know the devil's going to work in the natural realm with pain and things in the natural things that you can feel to try to fight against your faith? But you're going to have a good fight of faith. The Bible mentions in Ephesians 6 about your shield of faith so that you can quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Now, you know, I spent a lot of years just kind of not fooling around with what all that meant. Just, you know, get a man, dress him up in armor and put a little shield on him and, you know, throw some darts at him and hallelujah. But it means so much more than that. How do I quench the fiery darts of the wicked one? What do I do when, I know grace has made this available, and then I'm standing in faith based on, my response is positive based on what I know from the Word, but then this pain comes or this circumstance comes. Those are the darts, the fiery darts. And they're coming contradicting what I'm believing. Well, to quench the fiery darts, I just stand on the same word. I'm healed before the dart came. I'm healed when the dart showed up. I'm going to stay healed. That's called your shield of faith. Your shield of faith is it's that word you standing on no matter what the fight going to end up being. It's that word that I'm not going to let go because I already know a fight going to come. So I'm not the kind of Christian that says, what's wrong? Why is this happening to me? Why is this still going on? Why hadn't that disappeared? No. You know that when you're dealing with faith, there is a good fight. He says, fight the good fight of faith. So opposition is coming, glory to God. So I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. And I said, all right, Lord, how do you fight the good fight of faith? Well, just keep reading scripture. It defines itself. Comma, lay hold on eternal life. Ah, that's how you fight the good fight of faith. Just go ahead and lay hold on what grace has already made available. Go ahead and lay hold on your healing, and that's what you use. You use everything the scripture says about the healing that you already got. Lay hold on it, and then prepare to fight. What is my fight? My fight is not against people. It's really not against the devil, although he's the one that's opposing me. My fight really is to maintain my stance and my position on what faith says is mine. My fight is to maintain the same positive response to and towards what grace has already made available to me. And if you do that, your faith will not be weak and it will take possession in the midst of the controversy and in the midst of the fight, it will take possession of what grace has made available to you. But believe me, and this is what people are not getting, And I'm praying that they're getting, not you, but somebody else in the world. They're not getting that it's okay for your faith to be a fight sometime. Okay? It's not, well, grace didn't work, that God didn't work. Your faith is just being opposed now. And so now is not the time for you to roll over and say, well, I don't know what's going on. You know exactly what's going on. Something is trying to oppose your faith to stop you from apprehending and appropriating what grace has already made available for you. And so it might take a little time, but you're still going to be the same. If I see you tonight and you say, I'm standing on the word or I'm standing in faith, you'll find that those are two synonymous things. Then if I see you a month from now, what you doing? Same thing I'm doing the last time you saw me. Well, it is absolutely the evidence that heaven needs, and not that heaven needs this, more you need it, that you just remain in that position. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, it's amazing to me that in the midst of this, he brings up your profession, which is your confession, because I hopefully we get to it tonight. But it seems to me the way that a Christian becomes fully persuaded is by keeping that promise in his mouth. That's a part of the fight of faith, keeping that promise in your mouth. Well, I sense a little anointing in here on faith. Are you listening to me now? All right, now let's. I want to look at something Paul said in Romans. Galatians 2:16, and then drop down to verse 20. He says the same thing, Galatians 2:16, and 2:16, and then 20, and then we'll break this down even more. This is one of these sermons I would love to preach like 10 times in a row. Because this is how you get this thing. Somebody says, well, Pastor, why don't you go ahead and teach it 10 times in a row? Y'all know how us and is. You know how your cousins is if we start doing that. I want to hear something different, you know. And I really don't do nothing different. I'm just doing it another perspective. You think it's different. I'm just adding a little sea salt this time versus pepper. Look at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not declared righteous by the works of the law, but he's declared righteous by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by the faith, I want you to underline, by the faith of Christ. We're being justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. We are being justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be declared righteous or justified. I want you to zero in by the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. How do we get our righteousness? By the faith of Christ. Now look at verse 20. Verse 20, the faith of Christ. All right, now look at this. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Say out loud, Christ lives in me. That's what makes me a Christian. Say it again. Christ lives in me. That's what makes me a Christian. You're not a Christian because you go to church. You're not a Christian because you don't wear makeup or you do wear makeup. You're a Christian because Christ lives on the inside of you. All right? Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, when I looked at those two scriptures, I said, I want that. I want the faith of the Son of God. The faith of, Paul said he lived by the faith of the Son of God. Everything that Paul was talking about, he says, I now live by the faith of the Son of God. Well, this is the guy that preached grace. And this guy that preached grace says he's living by the faith of the Son of God. So you and I live by grace, and I want to know what I need to do to live by the faith of the Son of God. If he's living by the faith of the Son of God, how do I live by the faith of the Son of God? Well, my first obvious question is, where did he get it from? Where did he get the faith? Where did he get the faith of the Son of God from that he's living by? Same place you and I get it. Let's go to Romans 10:17. Watch this now. The faith of the Son of God. Where did he get it? I want to know, where did he get the faith of the Son of God? He get it from the same place we get it. Hallelujah. Verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So where did the faith of the Son of God come from? By the word of God. By the word of God. by the word of God. Paul got it by the word of God. Paul got it by the word of God. The word of God. Now, let me say this to you. With your understanding of grace, if you don't get the word of God, your faith is going to be weak. You need the word of God. It's the most important thing you can do as a Christian, and that is to get the word of God. This church is an authorized dealer of the word of God. It should be filled every time it opens. Why? Because it's the most vital thing that a Christian can do. And I don't think that the Christian understands it. They think that coming to church is one of those, let me pay my dues to God kind of thing. You're coming to church. You're coming to church is for you. You think you come to church to do God a favor. You ain't doing God no favor. You're doing yourself a favor because no word, no faith. You're not getting your faith. You can't get the faith of the Son of God if you don't get the word, because it comes by the word. And the less words you know, I don't know, but have you ever talked to people and you can tell you need to get some more word? You need to get some more. You sitting up there fussing with them about how they talking and what you need to believe and now let's trust God. And yeah, but I just don't feel. You need some word. You need some word. And they just kind of look at you like, no, I don't. You do. Your whole life is screaming for some word. You can tell a person who is starving for word. All you have to do is sit there and listen to them talk. They will indicate to you that I'm hungry. Let me say it again. The most valuable, profitable thing you can do as a Christian is to value coming and getting fed the word of God. That's the most valuable thing you can do. Now, life, because it's a fight of faith, life is going to present all types of things you need to do. That's how this works. Satan's strategy is simple. Keep them away from the word. Keep them away from faith. No faith, no grace. Excuse me. You'll still have grace, because grace is always available to you. But when you don't have faith, you can't take possession of what grace is made available to you. You follow what I'm saying? So think about it. No word, no faith, no faith. Can't take possession of what grace is made available, even though grace is there. It's all there. It's all in you. You walking around with the answers, stuff with all the answers, but you can't seem to take possession of it. It's never tangible in your life because you need some more word. But the worst thing, I thought ignorance was the worst thing that you can possibly have, and I found out it's not ignorance that's the worst thing you can have. It's self-deception. Worse than being ignorant is when you think you know something and you don't. Self-deception is when you think you're right, but you're wrong, but you think you're right. Or, you know, you won't listen because you can't see what is so powerful about me coming to church and listening to a man preach the word for an hour. The powerful thing is the words that are coming out of God's word. And Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? In fact, I want to read backwards. You see verse 17? Read this backwards and you'll see exactly what he's saying. In other words, I'm going to go from 17 to 16 to 15 to 14. Are you ready? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What was he talking about? Faith cometh by hearing. So it's got to be preached. It's got to be not only preached, it's got to be studied, it's got to be read, it's got to be braille, all of that, because people ask me, well, what if you can't hear? How do you get it? You're comprehending it. As long as you can comprehend the word, your faith is going to come. As long as you can get an understanding of it, faith is going to come. But I sat today in my time of studying and meditation, and I said, Lord, there's just so much we've learned in 20 years that we just didn't know before. We were sitting having arguments about things we just did not know, just did not understand. Well, what happened? Kept hearing it, kept hearing it, kept hearing it, kept hearing it, kept hearing it. Wouldn't stop, kept hearing it. Kept hearing it, and what happened? Then a revelation explodes. Then light comes on. Then you understand more about this than you did 5 years ago, and you keep hearing it, and you keep hearing it, and then the light comes on. But you keep hearing it, because hearing the word has got to become a lifestyle. You got to hear it and hear it, because faith comes every time you hear it and hear it and hear it. And so what happens, you've heard about healing for so long, when you get diagnosed with something, it don't move you. Because of what you've been hearing. But we don't get it. There's a generation right now that doesn't value the word, and then there is no faith, and guess what happens? All the things that Jesus has promised in his word, they can't ever walk in the manifestation of it because they lack the knowledge. I'll say this. I don't think we lack faith as much as we lack the knowledge. You don't believe me? Sit down and try to talk to somebody about grace who's religious. Oh, man, that's a fight. That's a fight. You know, you're already healed. Why come I don't feel it? Well, you're already set free. Well, why come I keep doing this? See, that's an indication of more word. Need more word. And I'll keep preaching this until Jesus comes. But I'm telling you, the big difference in your life is going to be you making a decision that I value the word of God more than anything in my life. And that's why I can't afford to spend time wasting your time when you come here. I got to make sure that I lay out a meal that feeds you, because God made me responsible for watching over your souls, your mind, your will, and emotions, so that you can get the word. And if I can give you the word, your mind gonna be sound. Hallelujah, your will's gonna line up with his, and your emotions are gonna be godly, because you keep getting the word over and over and over. Well, how come I got problems? Because you keep getting that other word. You keep being fed by movies and TV and rap and all that other kind of stuff, and it ain't lining up with God's word. So you go get somebody's word. So you might as well decide to get God's word. Oh, Lord. All right. Now, let's look at something here. Go to, where is that? Romans, where do I want to go? Romans, well, here's the deal. Once you get the word, Romans 10:17, once you get the word by hearing the word, and you get faith from the word, then faith then resides in your heart. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and one of it mentions one, faith. It resides in your heart. But the one I want you to see is in Romans 12 and 3, because the Apostle Paul talked about the faith of the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God. I tell you what, the first time I heard the teaching on faith, it just changed my whole life, just to know that faith was a law. And just, it was amazing. And we don't hear much faith teaching anymore. And so what happens is, now we know what grace has made available to us, and that changes our lives big time, right? And we're releasing faith because we believe the grace, you know? And a lot of people don't realize that. You're believing that grace. And that's releasing your faith to go ahead and get what grace has made available. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul says, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So every man has been dealt the same measure. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, the faith of the Son of God. I believe that the faith of the Son of God that Paul spoke about was this measure right here. It's this same measure, the measure of faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. And so when a man gets born again and he gets in the Word, it is imparted unto him the measure of faith, or the faith of the Son of God. So the day you got born again, you have received the faith of the Son of God. The day you got born again, you have received the measure of that faith. So God's given it to you. And here's the thing I have to remind myself. If God gave me this faith, this faith will work. This faith will produce. It will work. If we'll nourish it properly, feed it properly, you know, get more. You know, faith for healing is not going to come by getting the Word of God on deliverance. Faith for prosperity is not going to come by getting the Word of God on physical healing. So in other words, whatever you're wanting to see manifested in your life, you know, you're going to have to get the Word of God on that. And when you get the Word of God on that issue, then that is your faith for that particular issue. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and 1. Let's look at this for a moment. Hebrews chapter 11 and 1. I'm going to look at it in the King James, and then I'm going to look at it in the Amplified. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, look at this for a moment. Now faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. All right, let's say the thing you're hoping for is healing. You go to the doctor, he sees something, and the thing you're hoping for is the healing that grace has already made available. Now, I'm not trying to make healing my hope, or let me give you a definition of hope. The earnest expectation of good. The earnest expectation. Hope is like a blueprint. It's like the, you know, when you draw out a blueprint, that's your hope. That's your dream. That's how you see this thing happening, you know. You still have to fill it with materials, but hope is what you come to expect, okay? So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the hope for. What is it of the finished works of Jesus that you are hoping for? So the Word of God is also going to give us hope, and we need hope in this generation. We need to be hopeful. I think the problem right now in this generation is that, people are not hopeful. And we need to be hopeful. And I'm telling you, the more you get in that Word, the more hopeful you become. Hallelujah. And it's no longer, well, it'll never happen for me. Well, you never know. No, it's just that Word. That Word now becomes your blueprint. And you can see yourself doing that. It's almost like in the book of Genesis chapter 11, when they were building that tower of Babel, and they used their inner image, and God said whatever they can imagine, then that's what can come to pass. And that's what happens when you spend time in the Word, and you spend time meditating in the Word until your image maker becomes impacted by what you've been spending time in, until your imagination becomes influenced by the Word. Now, we don't use the word imagination a lot when we, you know, when dealing with godly things. We use it a lot when we deal with negative fleshy things. It's amazing how negative things can influence your imagination in a negative way. People tell you don't do this because you imagine that. Well, God gave you the imagination. Amen. So if He gave you the imagination, think about, you see what I just said? Imagine what would happen. What am I saying? See yourself. What would happen if you spent time in that Word? See yourself, what would happen if you can stop? Because I'm telling you right now, there is nothing that I can recall good that happened in my life that I don't have a vision or a dream or imagination for that thing. But now here's the thing. When you get that vision, dream, and imagination, you might as well celebrate. Can't nothing stop it from coming to pass. Nothing can stop it from coming to pass. If you can see it, you can have it. See it what? On the inside. If you can see it, you can have it. Remember what Abraham did? Abraham looked to the stars, imagining, looked at the sand, imagining. Church, I think we need to start putting our imagination to work. Instead of you sitting there getting depressed, get in the Word and then close your eyes and see yourself doing it. I mean, see yourself doing it. Close your eyes, see yourself doing it. See yourself with a promotion. Glory be to God. Just meditate on the scripture that promotion comes from the Lord. Meditate on that and then see yourself promoted. Use your imagination. Imagine yourself. I pray you have a dream about it. It's like, better not let me dream. If I go to bed and dream about something I've been meditating on, the devil might as well go on back to hell because ain't nothing going to stop it from coming to pass. Well, that's the power of something years ago we taught called the inner image of faith. Faith will produce an inner image. Faith or the Word of God will produce a blueprint. You can have a blueprint of what grace is made available for you. You don't waste time spending time in the Word of God. Glory, 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 glory. So that's what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for. That's important. Hope now is important in faith. It's important. And it's the evidence of things not seen. So he says faith is also evidence of unseen things. Faith is evidence of the unseen thing. Now, you know, if I got the title deed of my car and bought it up here with me, that would be evidence of the car that's at home that you can't see. But the title deed is the evidence that that car exists somewhere. See, a title deed has to be attached to the real thing. It's got to be a representation of what is already exists. It's got to be the evidence of something that is real. Oh, praise God. He said that faith is the evidence of that which is real. Faith is the evidence of a living reality. All right, now, I want you to go hold your place here, but go recall Romans 10, 17. Faith comes from the Word, right? So I could easily say if faith comes from the Word, is it okay if I, and this is for illustration purposes, if faith comes from the Word, may I use the Word of God and faith synonymously? So then, the Word of God cometh by hearing the Word of God by the Word of God. The same. Go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and 1. Watch this. Because that makes sense. The Word of God coming by hearing the Word of God, doesn't it? But here it said it was faith. Now the Word of God is the substance of things hoped for. Is that true? And the Word of God is the evidence of things not seen. Is that true? So that brings it on a level of practicality, that as a Christian, I don't have to be mystical about faith. Well, faith is in that realm. No, it comes by the Word. And the Word of God is the thing hoped for. So I read in the scripture, with his stripes, ye were healed. That becomes my hope. How do I hold on my hope? I hold on to that scripture. I meditate on that scripture. I imagine that scripture. I say that scripture out loud. Look at all the stuff I'm doing. Well, Brother Dollar, isn't that forbidden by grace? Isn't that works? Yeah, it's works of faith. Well, I thought he said that we were not justified by works. You read it clear. We were not justified by the works of the law. There's a difference. The works of the law is you performing according to the law to try to get God to do something. The works of faith is not you performing. The works of faith is works that come as a result of you believing God. You believing that he's already made grace available. You believing that your healing is already available. Because I believe I'm healed, therefore I release my faith to get it. Which means you're going to find me seeing it because I depend on God. I'm going to say it because I depend on God. I'm going to pray it in thanksgiving because I depend on God. I'm going to meditate on it because I depend on God. This is called works of faith. The works are born out of my belief. I so believe that I'm healed that it produces an action. I'm not manufacturing an action. My belief is giving birth to me doing something. So I believe it so much, I meditate on it. I believe it so much, it comes out of my mouth. Every time I talk to somebody, it's coming out of my mouth because I believe it that much. You follow what I'm saying? Now the Word of God is the substance of things hoped for. The Word of God is evidence. It's the evidence. The Word of God is 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 the evidence. I might not have the car right now, but I have the title deed. You might not have the healing right now, but you have the title deed. You might not have the deliverance right now, but you have the title deed. You might not have the prosperity right now, but you have the title deed. You might not have the wholeness right now, but you have the title deed. Hang on to the title deed, because the fight is going to be the devil trying to get you to give away the title deed. And I'm not going to give away my title deed. I don't care how much pain comes. I'm not going to let go of my title deed. I'm not going to let go of my dream. I'm not, as long as I got evidence of my dream. As long as I got evidence of my dream. As long as I got evidence. As long as I got evidence of that. And I will not let it go, not by how I feel. I'm not going to be moved by how I feel. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. That's the fight of faith. I'm not going to be moved by what somebody says. I'm not going to be moved. This is my title deed. This is all I got. This is how you live when systems start failing. When baby need a pair of shoes, when the money ain't coming in, what you grab hold of is the title deed. You grab hold of a financial note out of the Bible. And hold on to it until it's cashed. Now look at Hebrews 11 and 1 in the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, sure enough. It's the confirmation. Look at that. It's the title deed. Title deed of what? Of the things we hope for. Being the proof of things we do not see. And it's the conviction of their reality. Faith is my conviction. Faith is my conviction of the reality of the thing I can't see. Faith is my conviction of the reality of the thing that I can't see. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So faith says it's real, even though I can't see it, I can't touch it, I can't smell it, I can't hear it. Faith perceives it as real, even though it hadn't been revealed to the senses. Gela maso torobasanda. Boy, my faith getting stirred up right here just teaching this stuff. So if you can sense it, it's not faith. Listen, if you can sense something that you have faith for, then you've come to the end of your faith. And that is called manifestation. I want you to get to the end of your faith. I said, I want you to get to the end of your faith. I said, I want you to get to the end of your faith. But this is how we do this. We have been given everything we need in this life, and all we need is to understand faith to take possession of it. Faith takes possession of it. Grace makes, faith takes. Grace makes, faith takes. Now, you remember what he said here? It's the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. I'm going to remind you of something. Go to Philemon. It's only one chapter. Philemon 1 and 6. Because in Philemon, he tells you how to turn that faith on. And it's the same way. I am convinced of its reality. And well, what's your proof that it's real? The scripture, the word. You know what the enemy's doing now? He's trying to convince the millennial generation that there is no need for the Bible. Boy, and what does that do? That just leads them to debate over spiritual things and end up in a ditch. Why you got to reuse the Bible? Because that's God's word. So I don't care what generation comes to pass. Without the word of God, you ain't got nothing. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and was the word was God. Essentially, if without the word of God, you ain't got God. It's your protection. It's just like in the banking system. In the banking system, there are certain protections. And this is your protection. It's like, where is it in the word? And, you know, I used to think that, and that is true. I've grown to understand that it's not just where in the word, but where is it in proper context in the word? See, because I've seen people take the text out of the context, and then I've been left with the con. No, in proper context, because the context of a scripture determines the main application of that scripture. And you have to understand the proper context, or you'll be all over the place. But look what he said in verse 6, similar to what he said over here in Hebrews. He says that the communication of thy faith may be effectual. When something's effectual, it begins to work. When something is effectual, it begins to work. And he says that your faith will begin to work by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You know what he just said? When you admit it, when you admit the reality of the thing you can't see that's in you, that's going to cause your faith to start working. When your response is admitting the solution is real based on the title deed that you get from the word, when you can say you are something based on the word, when you say I already have this in me based on the word, Lord, that, go to John 6:63, that's good, Lord. You know, there comes a point in our lives where we've just got to start trusting the mirror. Lady of Moslem. Now, you know the Bible is referred to as the mirror, right? What does a mirror do? It provides a reflection, right? Let's see, John 6:63, and then after that, I want to go to James 1:25. John 6:63, and then James 1:25. Now, look at what he says in the King James here in John 6:63. And this is a detour, but I think it'll be good what we're saying. He says, it is the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh has no profit at all. All right? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Amen. And they are what?
Life.
So that word you have, somebody says, well, what is God? God is a spirit. Well, how does he communicate to us? Through the word, which is spirit. Through the word, which is spirit. So he's communicated his word, which is his spirit, and his life in his word. Glory to God. Now, how do I look now that I'm as a born-again man? What does my born-again spirit look like? Well, the only way to find that out is to look in the mirror of the word. Man is a spirit being. He possesses a soul. He lives in a physical body. Man is not a body. Man is not a soul. Man is a spirit. He possesses a soul, which is his mind, will, and emotions. He lives in a physical body. The day you got born again, your spirit became perfect, flawless, just like God. And if you want to know how your spirit looks, if you want to know how your body looks, you look in the physical mirror, and it shows you a reflection of your body. If you want to know how your spirit man looks as a result of being born again, look in the Word of God, and it'll show you a reflection of your spirit. Glory be to God. You just got to trust that. Look in James 1:25, and I want to get to Abraham before I leave tonight. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So I look into the Word of God, and I don't forget what I see when I get in there. I don't forget what I see. I'm going to be blessed in my deeds. I'm going to be blessed in my deeds because of what I've been spending time with. Now go to Romans 4:16 real quick. Let's look at something with Abraham. Let's look at Romans 4:16 in the Amplified. We've already seen it in the King James. Now, tonight, what I want you to notice, your faith is being built. I'm putting word on the inside of you like a pitcher, and it's just growing and growing and growing, and you're like a giant. But you have to value this. It's one of those things you have to tell the rest of your world and the family, I got to go to church. This is my feeding time. And nothing gets in the way of that feeding time. And then you begin to see things happen. Look at this in verse 16. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. I love that. Inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. And it depends entirely on faith. Wow. In order that it might be given as an act of grace or unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all of his descendants, not only to the devotees and the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. Now, let's go to verse 17. You can go back to the King James. Romans 4:17, continue on down. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, he's talking to Abraham. Now, we're going to see an illustration of a man applying what I just taught you. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, even God, notice what God does. God calleth those things which be not as though they were. God calls those things that be not as though they were. Ladies and gentlemen, start calling things that be not as though they were. Honey, if your debt deliverance be not, then call it debt free. If your healing be not, then call it healed. All right? Now, he says, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, what does that mean? Abraham went against hope. Now, what hope? The hope that was provided in the natural world. All right, now there are certain hopes that are provided in the natural world. Your hope, if you go to the hospital, they have medicine. You hope if you go to the grocery store, they got food. You hope that the check you get after working 40 hours is going to cash. Okay? There's hope that's provided by the world. However, the things that are seen are temporal or temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. Systems in the natural will fail. You hope a man and a woman, when they get together, they can have a baby. But in Abraham's situation, they're old. The world, medically, there is no hope for a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman to have a baby. There's no hope there. So Abraham says, I'm going to go against that hope, the hope that's dead in the world. By taking the hope that I've gotten from what God spoke to me, and I'm going to use that hope against that dead hope in the world. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, anytime you run into hopelessness, use the hope you get from the Word. And the hope you get from the Word will overcome the hopelessness that is in the world. So you are not, you know, hopeless, or it shouldn't be this situation where there is no hope or you can't make it. You'll always be to make it as long as you got the Word of God. Amen. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. You're always going to be to make it as long as you got the Word of God. Well, praise God. What that means is, well, I don't know, so far, just don't look too good. That's because you ain't got enough Word. Anytime people come to me now, and I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and they say to me, Brother Dollar, I tried the word, but it ain't working. I ask them, are you satisfied with the amount of time you've been spending in the word? And every time, 100% of the time, it's no. I said, well, go back to your seat and sit down. Spend some more time in that word, then come talk to me. Don't come telling me that God don't work. I'm so fed up with people taking God and trying to put him on a lower tier as if he is a failure and if it don't work and if something wrong with him, if something happened in heaven, something broke in heaven. No, it always works. God's word always works. You know why God's word always works? Because the Bible refers to God's word as the incorruptible seed. You know what incorruptible seed is? It is seed that never fails. It is seed that always produces. It is seed that always brings forth the harvest. It's incorruptible. There ain't no way in the world you get an incorruptible seed of word and it fails. It cannot. This is the incorruptible word of God that cannot fail. Yeah, but Brother Dollar, I'm failing. Well, it ain't the word's fault. It ain't God's fault. See, you love getting up talking about, I tried this and I tried that. I just don't know what's going on. Yeah, but we don't live with you, so we don't know the authenticity of what you're telling us. All we know is the only time you get in the word is when you come here and I'm preaching it. Other time, you eating popcorn, watching Netflix and all that other stuff. You ain't in no word. You know, you got up, Jesus wept. You did a Shonda. You da 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 da. You see that commercial talking about if one could do it, you know, if one rep could do it, and they say one, if one piece of celery, one. No, that ain't how that work. God doesn't ever fail. So don't even say that. Don't even bring that here. Well, you know, I tried to get healed. How you try to get healed? The only way you can try to get healed is think about what the word said and then leave it alone for the rest of the time. Because with his stripes, you were healed. You don't have to try to get something that you already were. It's like you trying to go to heaven. How you trying to go somewhere and he seated you on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and the scripture says you are seated with him right now in heavenly places. So how you going to be trying to go to heaven when you're already seated there? The word works. The word works all the time. It works in any nation. It works in any nation on the world. It works in Africa. It works in the United States of America. It works in Thailand. It works. Well, how come it ain't work for me? You ain't working it. Well, I'm under grace. Yeah, you don't have to work the works of the law. But if you really believe this, your belief will give birth to an action.
Amen.
And that's the deal. Christians who say they believe in ain't believing. So what do you do when people who say, I believe? Well, I mean, you know, the devils believe too. But faith without actions is dead. Faith without actions born out of what you believe is dead. I'm not asking you to manufacture actions. I'm telling you faith without corresponding action is dead. So that says, what am I saying? When you say you really believe something, then it'll give birth to doing something. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you don't do what you don't believe. If I came up to you and I introduced you to this guy named Theodore, and I came up to you and said, it's Theodore right here. He said he had a dream last night. Y'all supposed to get married. And you say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that, and I don't like the name Theodore. All right, let me ask you something. You going to marry him? Why? You don't believe that. You don't believe that, you don't receive that, and it ain't gonna happen. You don't do what you don't believe. Wow. And consequently, you're not doing what you say you believe because you don't believe. Whatever you consider the most, that's what you're gonna be willing to do. I'm out of time. I'm going to have to finish this next week. Y'all getting greedy. Look at y'all. Oh, no. I got to go eat dinner. I ain't ate yet. You know what? I have ate. It's a no meat day. I'd be hungry on a no meat day. Isn't that sad? I don't even know if I ate. It was so light, I don't even know I ate. So now I got to go home and bind the devil of going outside and buying some Chick-fil-A. Praise the Lord. Y'all get anything out of that? Your faith. So you got to. Now, I'll mention this. Job feared that his sons and daughters might have offended God in some way, and out of fear, he started building altars out of fear. Job became highly developed in fear. And what happens when you're highly developed in fear? The thing you fear the most comes upon you, and it comes quickly. Have you ever wondered why is it that it takes some people a week to get you for their faith to manifest, and it takes others years? I guarantee you, if you could see their lives, this one guy is spending an enormous amount of time in the Word over that, and you're just kind of casually doing it. When you become highly developed in your confidence, cast not away your confidence, for it has a great recompense of reward. When you become highly developed in your confidence, that's where the real power is. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, how to get this confidence up. Hebrews 10, I think it's 35, how to get that confidence up, and then how does time come in to try to tempt you to quit? And that's why the Bible says when it's not coming real quick, you are in need of patience. Patience is remaining consistently, constantly the same. About what? About that faith you're standing on. James says, let patience have her perfect work. James chapter 1. And if you let patience have a perfect work, you'll be perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. You cannot short-circuit your faith. Because if you short-circuit your faith, that's what Jesus' disciples did. He came in and said, oh, ye of little faith. The translation says, oh, ye of a short burst of faith. You ever had a short burst of energy and it didn't last long? Same thing. Your faith was strong. That's what Peter had when he was walking on the water. Somebody says, "Why? How come he began to sink?" He had a short burst of faith. Then he got his attention and started considering what was around him, and it was short-lived. I don't want your faith to be short-lived. You're going to walk in the manifestations of. I got to have me thousands of people walking in this. Not no one or two or three. I have thousands walking in this. Thousands walking in this. And I believe it's you, praise God. Amen. But now you're just going to have to decide what you're going to do with this word. It all starts with his word. It's got to decide what you're going to do with this word. You know, it's just, you know, everybody got something to do. You got the same 24 hours that I got. How you choose to prioritize your 24 hours is going to determine the harvest of what you're going to get out of it. I'm just as busy as everybody. And I'm just, you know, my word time is valuable. I have to feed myself. I have to get in the Word. That has to be a priority in my life. What am I going to say to you if I don't get in the Word? I know what some of you think. Some of you think, well, you're the preacher. God just anoints it and just, whoo. No, that, you know, he already anointed the Word, but you got to study to show yourself approval. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I couldn't imagine if I came up here on Wednesday nights and said, well, let's see, Lord, what you want us to do? Shama, 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 shama. Shama, 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 shama. Well, I believe the Lord just wants us to pray. Then the next week, the same thing. Well, I just believe the Lord wants us to have some testimony service. Glory to God. Shama, 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 shama. No. I believe the most important thing to happen at a service is the word. Oh, but Brother Dow, the Holy Ghost is there. And this is what for people to say. They won't go home and say we had a good time because we got in the Word. Now, let folks fall out. You know, let the music fill the place and let them scream. Let somebody start crying. You understand what I'm saying? Let somebody run around, do a little flips and cartwheels as they go, you know? Let somebody jump on the dome and just swing like Spider-Man all over the place. Boy, they will go home and they will declare, we had church tonight. Son, the Holy Ghost was moving in that plane. And what you didn't know is I just hired a bunch of circus acts to come out and just do it. And it wasn't no Holy Ghost at all. It was trained circus act. But when you get, let me tell you what happened though. After you come to church for a while, over and over and over again, you're going to get tired of the same old circus act. There she go falling out again. He been crying like that for the last 10 services, about to get on my nerves now. That ain't going to get me to come to church. I asked the Lord, I said, what is it that'll get people to come to church? Watch this. Revelation. You sitting there and I'm preaching the Word and all of a sudden God speaks to you and oh, it starts directing your life and you're like, oh God, I needed to hear that. And you sit there and it hits you again. Oh God, I done been cool. You know, I was talking to Taffy about this and I said, now I'm gonna present something to you and you can tell me what you think about it. I said, I notice a lot of married people, they don't know whether they want to fight for their marriage. And she said, yeah. I said, well, you know, we have roles given to us in the book of Ephesians and Peter. And she said, yeah. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. We missed the even as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands, and then that becomes a fight. How come I gotta submit? Why you know, I can love, you can do some submitting, and then you get in the fight, and then you forget about all that, because when your emotions come into place, y'all say some words you would not want me and Taffy to know you say. And I was praying about that one time. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, your job and your wife's job is to come to me and I'll give you your roles for that day. I said, what are you talking about? He said, oh, yeah, you love your wife even as Christ loved the church. He says, absolutely do that. But on top of that, be willing to submit and get under her mission when she needs you to, and I'll let you know when you need to do that. I'll let you know when you need to cook dinner. I'll let you know when you need to put fingernail polish on her fingernails, crack her toes, and I'll let you know when you need to do that. Now, that ain't written down nowhere. But I'm the Holy Ghost. I live in you, and I'll let you know the roles you need to produce every day of your life. Well, now, that was life-changing, not only for my ministry, but for my marriage. That was life-changing. See, you have to be careful not to write all the little, this is what you're supposed to do in order to get that. Well, that's operating by the law, isn't it? That's not works of faith. That's works of law. Works of faith is, oh, God, I'm believing for you to tell me how I need to conduct myself as a husband today. Maybe today, instead of me walking around like I'm the know-it-all, giving instructions, today I might need to just, honey, what do you think we ought to do about this? And just shut your mouth. Shut your mouth, because you always think you got to tell somebody something because you the head of the house and your wife about ready to slap your face off because she's so tired of you going around here. All you want to do is command somebody. Won't you shut your mouth up and do it yourself? See, because if you keep devaluing her, that's how it's going to come out anyway. You keep devaluing a woman, she's going to talk to you like you somebody in the street. Who the blank, blank you think you are talking about? Blah, 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 blah. You going to think it's tongues. It ain't no tongues. Them was anointed cuss words. Why? Because even with something you got out of the New Testament, you turned it into a work of the flesh. It doesn't require faith to live by the law. Ooh. But it does require faith to live by grace. Doesn't require to live by the law. The law is simple. It doesn't require faith to live by the law. It requires faith to live under the covenant of grace. Dear God, we was going and I've been preaching. Okay, that's it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Amen. All right. Bow your heads.
How long? I mean, we supposed to close 15 minutes ago, weren't we?
Glory be to God. Your greedy self. Y'all pulled that out of me. Some of you are sitting there with your husband or your wife like, somebody need to be going to God to find out what your role is for tomorrow. Because today you done got on my last nerve. So Jesus, take the steering wheel and do the driving. I don't know what we're supposed to be doing now. Get your offerings ready. Well, I think what we ought to do is thank God. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and lift your hands up and give Him some praise right now. Give Him some praise right now. There's something about giving Him glory for everything you get. Oh, God, we give You glory. Oh, God, we give You glory. We give You glory. We don't take any credit for anything in our lives. We give You glory. Without You, we are nothing. But with You, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Father, there's healing in this house. There's deliverance in this house. There's hope in this house. Now, Father, I take authority right now, and I bind the spirit of death. You will not touch a person that is a member of this church. You'll not touch the members of our staff. I rebuke death in the name of Jesus. And I speak life over this congregation. I speak life over this ministry right now. And we give You praise, Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. It's faith that can move mountains. It's faith that can bring forth the healing waters. It's faith that can take possessions of what the blood of Jesus has done for us. Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's faith that can open blinded eyes. It's faith that can heal that soul sick mind. It's faith that can help the disease be set free. It's faith in the grace of God that'll make men free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We rejoice in Your presence, oh God, for Your love and Your faith that abides. For it is faith that saved us from the enemy and gave us the grace that has made men free. It's faith. Oh, it's faith. Oh, it's faith. Thank You, Jesus, it's faith. From Your word, it's faith. From Your word is faith. From Your word is faith.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So now, Lord, I speak that over this congregation. I minister that over this congregation. I minister that to this congregation. They be free.